All right, with Shavuos around the corner, if you have a Maila, I work before Shavuos to have Hasmada Shalai Lishma, because I give a shir Shavuos by night. And to give a shir with Avni Mulua Miktsais Nesivis, the shir begins after midnight, is not exactly ideal, so I try to work hard on certain ideas that I think will be interesting to people, at least, I don't do cartoons, but at least basic ideas. I don't know if anybody's going to write it on Shavuos, but nevertheless, I'd like to share with you what I tried to put together last night and this morning is a package, an understanding of the Rashi and his descendants, the Baalei Tosfos. Try to put it together in a way that shares ideas with you about it, basic knowledge about it. And what it has to do with Megillas Ruos, I'll tell you at the end. As you know, the G'dayli Ashkenaz basically are Rashi and Rashi's descendants, the Baalei Tosfos. Historians say that all Ashkenazic Yidden that survived come basically from Rashi and the Baalei Tosfos, and whether that's so or not, certainly you imagine Sosos of David Bekever that Rashi has no menucha in the other world, right? They don't have menucha because someone's learning Rashi at any given time, and I don't know who Rashi is speaking along with. So I'd like to share with you just the basic knowledge of Rashi, Baalei Tosfos, who they were, and maybe some important ideas. I always feel that if you know who they are, even the Tanoim and Amiroim, it gives a different picture. Rashi himself lived from 1040 to 1105. And I was never able to remember when he lived until a good friend of mine, Rabbi Rubin, who was a Rebbe in a elementary school class, told me that when he told his boys in his class that Rashi lived from 1040 to 1105, they replied, "Oh, just like recess." Apparently recess was 1040. Probably supposed to end at 11, but it ended at 1105. So since then, I remember Rashi lived 1040 to 1105. Coincidentally, the Rambam lived pretty much also 100 years later, from 1140 roughly till 1205. So at any rate, this is where Rashi lived. Rashi lived in France, but he learned, as a young man, he learned in Germany. That's why they have in Germany the Beis HaKnesset Shel Rashi and Mikveh Shel Rashi. So he was there for a period of time. So they have Baalei Tosfos in Germany and Baalei Tosfos in France. Rashi, as you know, had three daughters and three sons-in-law. Now, whether his daughters were Tamidei Chachamim, however you say that in female, or not, I don't know. Legend has it that that Rashi taught them. But certainly his sons-in-law were great people of Baalei Tosfos. And Rashi had three sons-in-law. The oldest one was Rabbi Yehuda ben Nasan, who you would recognize by the Rivan. The Rivan is the finished Masechtas Makkos. Rashi passed away in the middle of writing Masechtas Makkos, and says in the Gillian, it's interesting, it says, Mekan Rashi Meis, Yotzen Nishmasi B'tar, I think it says the word Torah there, and then Mekan Ve'eloch Al Yedei Talmidai HaRivan. It's interesting, it was Talmidai, it was also a son-in-law. The Rivan was his older son-in-law. His second son-in-law was Rabbeinu Meir, who in the Tosfos in Kedushin by Oni Amahapit Harara mentions there Rabbeinu Meir, Oviv Shel Rabbeinu Tam, it says. It mentions Rabbeinu Meir. And the third was Rabbeinu Ephraim. I'm not sure if this is the same Rabbeinu Ephraim that's mentioned also in many, very often in Tosfos, especially in Cholin. So these are the three sons-in-law of Rashi: the Rivan, Benu Meir, and his third Rabbeinu Ephraim. Now, I plan to share with you 12 names. So I don't want you to get dizzy. There's already three of them. Rashi is on top. But I 12 names that I hope you'll be able to somehow group together and remember. There are many hundreds of Bali Taisvis, but I think these 12 that I'll mention are the primary. So the first three are the three sons-in-law of Rashi. Again, the Rivan, who finished Makis, and Rabbeinu Meir, and Rabbeinu Ephraim. Now, the Bali Taisvis come primarily from Rabbeinu Meir's line, from the middle son-in-law. Rabbeinu Meir had a number of children. The ones that are significant to us are the Rashbam. The Rashbam was the eldest son-in-law of Rashi, the only one that really was old enough to learn, the oldest grandson of Rashi, the only one really old enough to learn with Rashi. The second was Rabbeinu Yitzchak, who we call the Rivam. The Rivam we're familiar with, we have it all the time in Taisvis. So you have the Rashbam and the Rivam, and the third, the most famous, is the Rabbeinu Tam. His name was Yaakov Ish Tam, they called him Rabbeinu Tam. So he had more sons, but the three sons of Rabbeinu Meir, who I mentioned most often in Taisvis, are these three brothers, the Rashbam, the Rivam, and Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam was 5 years old when Rashi passed away. All kinds of legends about how he poured ink on Rashi Tfillin. Either it happened, didn't happen, but it's possible it happened. He was the grandson of Rashi. So you have now the three sons-in-law, and now Rabbeinu Meir's three sons, the Rashbam, the Rivam, and Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Meir had a daughter who married the author of the Sefer Mazda Vitri. His name was Simcha, Rabbeinu Simcha. And really, in that line of primary importance is that daughter had a child who they named Yitzchak. There were a lot of Yitzchaks in the family. Rashi's father's name was Yitzchak. Rashi's Rebbe's name was Yitzchak. So that's the Re in Taisvis. So Re, very often Taisvis rewrites Doidi Rabbeinu Tam. He always fights with Rabbeinu Tam. It's amazing Taisvis and Makis on Yud Zayin Amid Beis. I think it's Zayin, the Tes Zayin Amid Beis, Yud Zayin Amid Beis. There, the Rabbeinu Tam says the Erev Tavshila needs a baked food and a cooked food. And the Re says it only needs a cooked food. But he's right there, Loi Molani Libi Lachleik Al Doidi. He says, I don't want to really argue with my uncle, so I always put the baked food and the cooked food. That's the Shveris Taisus in all of Shas. There was a Re saying, Loi Molani Libi Lachleik Al Doidi. He does it all the time. The Re is always arguing with any time. So what does it mean there? Loi Molani Libi Lachleik Al Doidi? What in the world are you talking about? No, Shveris Taisus. If you ever ask the cashier, but. Alright, so this is the basics of the names. So you have, again, the three sons, the three grandsons, and Deri is a great-grandson through the daughter of Rabbeinu Meir. Rabbeinu Meir himself, as I said, is mentioned occasionally in Taisvis, but most of the time, no. Now, Rabbeinu Tam was the leader, really, of the Bali Taisvis. We find Rabbeinu Tam making takanis. I don't remember, I tried to remember a list of takanis that he made, besides, of course, Rabbeinu Tam tefillin. He was geizer tainis on Chof Sivin, which for many generations was observed. And they lived in the time of the Crusades, a lot of redifus, terrible redifus. And Rabbeinu Tam was sort of the leader of the Bali Taisvis, as you know. The Re and the Rabbeinu Tam are the Bali Taisvis that are all over Shas and that are primary. The Rashbam is famous for having written the Pirush on Bava Basra. And anybody who learns Bava Basra knows that the reason Bava Basra has 176 blot is because of the Rashbam. because I doubt Bava Basra has more words than Bava Metzia. I don't think it has more words than Bava Metzia. And it just has these big Rashbams, these long Rashbams. And the Rashbam explains things by Richus. He gives you an appreciation of Rashi's skill at writing things in a brief way. I think the yeshiva is learning Bava Basra next year. We've got such a gigantic Masechta, as I said. It's the Rashbam that made it gigantic. Now there is a Rashbam in the beginning of Parshas Vayeshev that people should know. It's an interesting Rashbam, and it has a certain focus, which a certain school of Rishayim and Gutsav Achrayim held to. I'll read you a little piece of it, and then if I have a chance, I'll tell you the rest of it. He writes here that he spoke to his grandfather, to Rashi, and he says the following. Downstairs. There it is. Okay, it's in the beginning of the parasha. Paraklam is Ayat Pasik Beis, the second Pasik. Gam Rabbeinu Shloima Avi Imi, Rabbeinu Shloima, my mother's father, Meir Eine Agayla, Shepirish Tere Neviyam Uksuvim. This is where there are some, the new, the modern thinkers that say that Rashi didn't really write on the Nevi'im. Someone else wrote it and called it Rashi. The Rishbam should have known, it was his grandfather. He writes, Shapirish Tere Nevi'im Uksuvim, Nosin Leiv Lefarish Pshutei Shel Mikra. Rashi's concentration was to write Pshat, to stay away from Drush, to write Pshat. Va'afani, Shmuel ben Remeir Chasnai, Shmuel the son of Remeir, Rashi's son-in-law. Nisvakachti imai, I argued with my Zayda, I argued with my grandfather. Vahoydeli, and Rashi was made to me. Sheilu hoyolai panai, hoyetzarech lases pirushim acherim, lefi hapashtos hamischachim v'chol yayim. He said, Rashi would have, if he would have had time, he would have rewritten the Rashi to get closer to Pshat and further away from Drush. That's what he brings here. He gives an example. The Radak says, Eila Toldes Yaakov. Toldes means the Pasirungin, we used to say in Yeshiva, right? This is what happened to Yaakov. So he writes under Radak, he writes the Devar of Hevel, Divrei Hevelim. Toldes means children, means descendants. So he writes this in the name of Rashi. Now Rashi said, I would have stayed closer to Pshat. And this is a rather famous comment, the idea of sticking to Pshat, which the Nitzid in his Pirush, what? Pasuk Beis. And Paraklam is that Pasuk Beis. It's Pashas Vayesha. Vayesha Yaakov Beis Mugui Alberes Kanan, Eilat Toldes Yaakov. So he writes this. Chassidish Sfarim have a whole play on this, that they say that Rashi was Meramiz Divrei Kabbalah all the time, which is true, that they are Ramazim in Rashi to Divrei Kabbalah, and that the Rashbam saying that Rashi would have hidden the Divrei Kabbalah more. He says this in the Munkach in Divrei Torah, Chavuk Dalit. He says this. It doesn't fit if you learn the whole Rashbam. If you learn just the part I read to you, it fits. But if you read the whole Rashbam, it really doesn't fit. But anyway, this is a significant Rashi. The idea to stick to Pshat, this Pshat and this Drush. So you have to understand, sometimes you have things like the Abarbanel does it all the time in Nach. The Abarbanel says that those who say Shaul was king for only 3 years, It's silly. How could all of his story, all the things that happened to Shaul take place within 3 years? Omrani, so Shaul was king, he figures out a number. The Gemara says he was king for 3 years. The Barbanel's arguing with the Gemara. Or that Shmuel lived only 52 years. The Barbanel disagrees. It's a Gemara. The Teretz is this Pshat and this Drush. The Barbanel holds that Al-Pi Pshat, it's not correct. There were Gedali Rishayim who held that we learn too much Drush, that Rashbam himself explains, since the Ikka Limud is Gemara. The Ikka Limud is Gemara, so we stray from Pshat. Gemara Darshins. The Drush is true. But still, you should learn Pshat. So be that as it may, that was the Rashbam's Shita, probably the most famous thing about the Rashbam, of his writings, of which there are many, was this. Rabbeinu Tam. So again, I mentioned the seven names. The three sons-in-law, three grandsons, and then the great-grandson of Rashi. So you should know that the Re and the Riha and the Riha Zakan is the same person. The Riha Zakan is the same person. You see, Chidushay Riha Zakan. The Re and the Riha Zakan is the same person. There was a major issue in Rashi's descendants. There were a lot of Yitzchaks and Yaakovs in the family, and you had to differentiate between them. So they called the Riha Zakan, the older Re, to differentiate him from another Re, which I'll tell you, and the Riva, and the Rivam, Rebbeinu Tam was a Re, and the Rivan, his uncle was Rivan, with Endanon. Then there's the Rivam with Endanon. Then there's the, which was also his, which was the Re's uncle. Like the Re's, Rebbeinu Tam's brother was the Rivam. His great uncle was the Rivan with Endanon. And at any rate, so that's the Re. The Re is the big takif to ask all kinds of kashas. And then Rabbeinu Chaim HaKayin was a Talmud of Rabbeinu Tam. We had him recently in Taisvis, the big Taisvis of Chafei HaMedeis. What I noticed, if I'm right, about Rabbeinu Chaim HaKayin is that he says extremely mechudishtika things. He tends to be brought when he agrees with Rabbeinu Tam, and they don't bring him. When he's arguing with them, he brings him. Rabbeinu Chaim Kayin is famous for a number of things. The most famous, and one thing is Rabbeinu Chaim Kayin said, the reason Yidden don't live in Eretz Yisrael, Bismanoi, is because the Hilchis Ram are too hard. It's Nisayin to start learning again, Hilchis Shemitah, Hilchis Trumas, and Maestris, etc. So he said, that's why Yidden don't live in Eretz Yisrael. It's too hard to go to Eretz Yisrael. You stay in Chutz Lares till Mashiach comes. I'm saying it as a chiddush. I mean, obviously, the rest of Klal Yisrael didn't accept such a havan. Similarly, in Taisus and Ksubis Kuf Gimel, Rabbeinu Chaim Kayin writes, if I had been there when my Rebbe, Rabbeinu Tam, died, I would have been metamet to him, because Kibrei Tzadikim ain't a metamet. Which is also not Ladina, not Lahalacha, but it's an Agadah to Gemara, it's an Agadah to Medrash, really. And he writes it. Chaim Kayin writes it. He was one of the Talmid Rabbeinu Tam. I mentioned it, you'll notice it. First of all, it's a name that you catch, Chaim Kayin. And secondly, the fact that he seems always to be saying big Chidushim. Now, you know, you look at that Taisus Chafei Amid Beis, if you look there, what Taisus basically says is Rabbeinu Tam Hikshala Rashbam. So now, you know, Rabbeinu Tam and Rashbam are brothers, you know, so they're having a fight. So the Rabbeinu Tam's Talmud says, no, your brother's right, you're wrong, and he answers to Rashbam. It just gives it a little more, I guess, personality. So that's number eight. Rabbeinu Chaim was not from the family. And there were two brothers. I don't know how or if they were related to the family, but the two brothers were the Ritzpah and Rabbeinu Shimshin. And here I want to explain. First of all, the Ritzpah is mentioned in Taisus very often, Rabbeinu Yitzchak ben Avram. And you could guess why they put the tzaddik in the abbreviation. He was another Yitzchak in the family. You know, so many Yitzchaks, so they call him Rivah, they're going to get him mixed up with the other Rivahs. So they called him Ritzvah to differentiate between the Rivah and the Rivam and the Rivan and the Ri. So he's also known as the Ri HaBachor, the younger, in distinction to the Ri HaZaken, which is the Ri. The Ritzvah is a Talmud of the Ri HaZaken, and perhaps a descendant, I'm not sure, of the family, and is known as the Ritzvah. Rabbeinu Shimshon, I want to talk to you about, because Rabbeinu Shimshon is the most underrated Rishon. Rabbeinu Shimshon, first of all, goes by four names. They're all the same person. He's called Rabbeinu Shimshon. He wrote a pirish on Zroim and Taharis. If you take a Shas Gemara and you open it up to Zroim and Taharis, you'll see the pirish on the side is the Rash, Rabbeinu Shimshon. So he was known for that. That enough would have made him famous by itself. He was also known as the Rash Mishans. The Rash Mishans, they're Sfarim, the Chidushei Harash Mishans, which is the same person. He's also known as the Sar Mikutzi. The Sar Mikutzi, there's a book from Marcus Lehman wrote a book telling the story how he became a Sar, the major mover in French Jewry. And most importantly, when Tosfos quotes the Rashba, never ask a stira between the Rashba and Tosfos and the Chidushei Rashba. Okay? There was an Ashkenazi Rashba and a Sephardi Rashba. The Sephardi Rashba was the Talmud of the Ramban. The Ramban, the Rashba, and the Ritva were Rebbe Talmud to Talmud. And very close, relatively close in age. And he wrote the Chidushei Rashba, the Tshuvas Rashba, most of the Rashba that we talk about, by the name Rashba, is Rabbeinu, he's called Rabbeinu Shlomo ben Aderes. Even though it's not clear if Aderes was his Zayd or his father, but it says Rabbeinu Shlomo ben Aderes is the Sephardi Rashba. The Ashkenazi Rashba is Rabbeinu Shimshon. That's his fourth name. Rabbeinu Shimshon ben Avram, again the brother of the Ritzvah, Rabbeinu Yitzhak ben Avram. And it's important to know that they're not the same person. They're two different people, two different Rashbas. The Ravids, there were a bunch of different Ravids as well. But the Rashba, as far as I know, there were two. This Rashba and that Rashba, and they were two different people. And as I say, the Rashba is, in my mind, like the most underrated of the Gedolei Bali Tosfos, because of the fact that is, Tosfos calls it the Sar Mikutzi. I don't know why sometimes he calls it, sometimes Tosfos calls it the Sar Mikutzi. So Tosfos calls it the Rashba. And Rabbeinu Shimshon, which is also not such a common name, certainly not of those generations. So we're up to 10, I think. So we have the two brothers, and again we had the three sons-in-law, the three grandsons, Rabbeinu Meir's three sons, the Rashbam, the Rivam, and the Rabbeinu Tam. Three and one great grandson, the Ri. We call the Ri HaZaken, the Ri that we have all the time in Tosfos, Rabbeinu Tam, the Ri. That's seven. The two brothers is nine. I mentioned Rabbeinu Chaim HaKoyen. So that's 10. I was thinking to stop at 10, but I want to mention two others. First say there would have been longer, maybe I would have mentioned 14. But one is Rabbeinu Peretz. What's fascinating about Rabbeinu Peretz is this. You know the Achidusha Rabbeinu Peretz, and you see it quoted, no question, from the Gedolei Olam. I don't know how, blood relative, I don't know how he's been in the family, I have no idea. However, you have to know that in each Masechta, when the printers stuck Tosfos in, different Masechtas they put in from different Bali Tosfos. In other words, certain Masechtas, I think it says in the Gilyon HaShas, in one of the Masechtas in Kachin, it says, Tosfos Shabzua Masechta, hey, may, such and such a person. For whatever reason, it evolved that way. The Taisa, there's a rule, you can't ask a stira from a stam taisis in one mesechta to a different mesechta. Because different Bali taisis wrote on different mesechtas. The Rash, it was also the Sarmakutzi and the Rashba and the Rash Mashans, there are five mesechtas from him, listed from him. Makis, I think it's the only mesechta, is Tamidei Rabbeinu Peretz. The taisis in Makis are Tamidei Rabbeinu Peretz. So you can't ask a stira from a stam taisis in one mesechta to another, because they're different people. Within one mesechta, a stam taisis, you can ask a stira. What's unusual, and anybody who learned Makis noticed, that every once in a while it says in taisis either Mashiach Omar, or at the end of a taisis is a dot, and it says Mashiach dot. It says Mashiach. Now that Mashiach was not one of the Bali taisis. We're sure he's an Ashkenazi, that's for sure, right? But whether he's a... he was not a Bali Taisis. Mashiach is the printer's joke where they wrote Meiri Sheyichya. The printer abbreviated it Mashiach for whatever reason. No, they really printed it Mashiach. The Mashiachist in the world who claim that anybody's allowed to believe his Rebbe is a Mashiach, they bring a Raya, tell me the Rebbeinu Peretz held that Rebbeinu Peretz was Mashiach. You see? Element as a Mashiach, they called him Mashiach. So they didn't call him Mashiach. They called him Mayri Sheyichya, and that's Makis. It's important to know that the different Masechtas are different people. The 12th name is the Riva, who I did not mention to you. I kept on mentioning there are a lot of Riz, the Riva. The Riva was the leader of the Bali Taisis in Germany. And that's why there's not as much interaction. When Taisa brings a Rivar, sometimes yes, sometimes not. So it's just a Rivar, and there's no interaction with Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri. Sometimes there is. To Germany to France is like, from New York to New Jersey. It's not so far away, it's just different countries. But still, they didn't interact as much, and that's the Rivar. So you have here, I would say, the three miscellaneous Bali Taisas, the Rabbeinu Peretz, the Rivar, and the Rabbeinu Chaim Kayin, three. The three sons-in-law, six. Let's see if I get all of them. The three sons-in-law, six. And then the three grandsons is nine. The Ri is the great-grandson is ten. And the two brothers, the Ritzvah and Rabbeinu Shimshon, the Rashbah. So that totals 12 Bali Taisis. So yesterday I told you when you walk in the street, you think of seven nafkaminis if a tenant owns the land or doesn't own the land. So you did that already. Now you'll see if you can come up with the 12 Bali Taisvis, and if you count Rashi, you're wrong. I didn't count Rashi as one of the 12. Okay, these are 12 Bali Taisvis, and it's interesting that as far as Taisvis quoting the Svardik Gedolim, he quotes the Rif very often. Rabbeinu Alfus was 200 years earlier. Rabbeinu Alfus was the Rif. Was a tremendous influence. The Rif lived to 90 in a year. He was 90 years old in a time where the average life expectancy was in the 40s. And the Rif, in his old age, was a man with kayach. When he was 80, he moved. He took a new rabbanus, and they were concerned. He's too old. He told them he'd be there 10 years. That's what legend has. And he spread his influence all over. At least the Sephardic world and all of it. So Taisus quotes Rabbeinu Alfus very often.
Before Rashi?
Yeah, sure. The Taisus quotes the Rambam at least once. One place is Menachos Daf Mem Beis. Now why do I remember it? I'm not a Bucky and Shas. There's a simon. Rambam stands for Re'ei Menachos Mem Beis. It doesn't really stand for that, but it's a way to remember it. It could be he's quoted one more place, I'm not sure. But he quotes Rambam once, and he quotes Ibn Ezra, Rabbeinu Avraham Ibn Ezra, I was going to tell you once in Kedushin, but it's actually twice in Kedushin, and in Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Gimel, in Kedushin Daf Lamed Zayin, but the same Ibn Ezra, the same exact words, are twice. So you wonder why Punkt, it's quoted once the Ibn Ezra and once the Rambam. Maybe it's like a token representation. They wanted to show they're not ignoring the Gedolim of the rest of the world. But but it's interesting to note that it's brought. Just, you know, we heard it in the Rambam, we heard it in Ezra, and it's brought. Now, what in the world does this have to do with Megillas Rus? So I'll tell you an interesting veritable, which is not true, but it's true that it says, on the question why Rabbeinu Tam is called Rabbeinu Tam. Why is Rabbeinu Tam? Everybody else is called by his name. So the real answer is probably what I said earlier. They couldn't call him the Re. They couldn't call him the Riva. They couldn't call him the Rivam. So they called him Rabbeinu Tam, and it probably fit his personality. Yaakov Yishtam Yashiv Ayoma. It's likely the reason. We were talking in a time where there were no printing presses, there were no typewriters, there was no cut and paste. Everything was written by hand. That's why there's so many abbreviations, because everything had to be written by hand. They abbreviated. That's likely the reason. However, in the Teres Kayanim, in Parshas Bechukaisai, it says the following. The Teres Kayanim says, in the Teichecha, it says, V'tam, get it? V'tam lorik kaychechem. Which means, your energy will go to waste. So in the Teres Kayanim, it says that you'll work hard to save up money for a Nadin, to marry off your daughter. And you'll marry off your daughter and give your son-in-law a Nadin. And Teich Shana, the daughter-in-law, will die. So if you have an Einikol, at least the money goes to your grandson. But Teich Shana, they'll die, and one of them will die. And here, you worked all your life to give away a Nadin. Now you're going to lose your Nadin. Tam l'rit kaychechem. That's what it says. One of Rabbeinu Tam's takonis that he made was that if people get married and they die teich shana, the nadin goes back to the father-in-law. That was one of Rabbeinu Tam's takonis. I think he made a number of takonis. So one takona was that the money goes back to the father-in-law if you die teich shana, which is of course how it comes into Rus. Right? Boyaz and Rus got married, that much Navi you know, right? Ksuvim, you know. And when did Bayaz die? When did Bayaz die? That night. One of the things I want to clear is whether his wife was allowed to go to the Levaya, whether she said Shiva. During the Sheva Brachas week, you don't see Shiva. No. Gemara says if someone loses Layalenu appearing, then you Sheva Brachas, you don't see Shiva. So does she have a Sheva Brachas week if her husband's the one who died? I have to clear that. It's a shulis by night. But anyway, that was Rabbeinu Tam's takana. Under the Teres Kayanim, there's a pirish. I don't know who the person is. It must be a great person if he got his work. If he wrote a pirish on Teres Kayanim, he already has to be great. And he has it there. So he said he had a dream. And in the dream, he was told, why did they call him Rabbeinu Tam? Because he abolished the curse of the Tam Lorik Kaychachem. That's why they called him Rabbeinu Tam. Now, I don't doubt it's true he had such a dream, but I'm highly suspicious that that's why they called him Rabbeinu Tam. It could be yes. I mean, it depends on your point of orientation. Some people like this type of stuff. Anyway, why should I bias you? It could be. That's why it's called Rabbeinu Tam. But be that as it may, the fact is that Rashi had two Rebbeim named Yitzchak and a father named Yitzchak. So, there were a lot of Yitzchaks in the family. And anyway, this is what I wanted to tell you for the first part of today's shmooze. I wanted to get to some Musar too, which I have 5 minutes for, but nobody here needs more than 5 minutes worth of Musar anyway, right? So anyway, these are the ideas. If you don't chazer them, you're going to forget them. If I don't chazer them, I'm going to forget them. At least I'll try as best I can. I know I'll chazer them, at least this was by night, God willing. And we'll see. See what else. Let me tell you a word on the parasha. I had a kasha. It says, in Parashas Bamidbar, Ela told us Aaron and Moshe. Right? Ela told us, as they told us, right? Ela told us Aaron and Moshe. What does told us mean? Children, the descendants, doesn't mean pasirungin, no matter what they said. So when it says, Ela told us, Moshe va'arid, Rashi says, Kasha, It doesn't say Moshe's descendants. All it says is Aaron's descendants, if it says Ela told us. So what does Rashi answer? That he taught Torah to the Aaron's children. So it's Kilu Yaldai, so that's why it says it. So I had a problem. This kasha is the following. Tell me if you agree it's a good kasha. The kasha is, Moshe Rabbeinu taught everyone in the Midbar Torah. He taught Torah to everybody in the Midbar. What's the grace of Yichlis that he taught Aaron's children Torah? He sat, all day teaching. Well, what did he do all day? He sat all day teaching. It's like Devarim is called Mishnah Torah. Right? It's called Mishnah Torah. Well, what did he do the whole 40 years? He was Chazer Torah the whole 40 years. Devarim, 40 days end of the Chazer Torah. What do you mean? What were they doing? What do you think they were doing the whole 40 years? What else did they do in the Midbar? So I'll answer both questions. The Nitziv, in his Pirush on Chumash, he really doesn't have pilpulim. But if you take, he has a shita, and he explains it in 20 places, and if you can put together the 20 places, you get a shtickle pilpul from it. So I want to tell you what he says in throughout Chumash. And I'm trying to learn this year. Every year I try to take one of the Feirish on Chumash and learn it. This year I'm trying to do the Amik Davar, the Nitziv's Pirush. So he has the following approach. The Gemara says that Pilpul of Torah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu as a gift. And Moshe Rabbeinu noach Tovas Ayin, and he gave it to Klal Yisrael. Really, Pilpul, the Klayach to be Mechadish things through Pilpul, was only Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe did a favor, he shared it with Klal Yisrael. What's going on? What does that mean? Imagine learning with no Pilpul. So then the Nitziv explains that for the 40 years in the Midbar, he taught Klal Yisrael without Pilpul. There was no opportunity to be Mechadish Kiddushin. Klal Yisrael has to learn, if right away you learn Pilpulim, it doesn't work. You have to learn what's Halacha Mishum Sinai, what's given, the Midas Hatar, the Drashas, what are the Drashas? They learned the Drashas. But Pilpul, to be able to argue and say Kiddushin, that was only Moshe Rabbeinu got it. And not Klal Yisrael. Before Moshe Rabbeinu died, Hayil Moshe Be'eres HaTayr HaZayis, Mishnah Torah, he chazed the whole 40 years, no. The last month and a week before he died, Hayil Moshe began Be'eres HaTayr HaZayis, a Be'eres, a wellspring, his Kiddushin. The Tziv says he started to teach Pilpul HaDayraisa to Klal Yisrael right before he died. So they had their 40 years of learning, and now Hayil Moshe Be'eres HaTayr HaZayis. That's the explanation there. The Tziv says, wherever it says B'yad Moshe, so it's a Torah of a mitzvah of B'yad Moshe, was this a Torah of Moshe of Nisar P'y Hashem B'yad Moshe? B'yad Moshe means Moshe's Pilpul. Torah is given up, P'y Hashem, what's B'yad Moshe? Who cares, it was in Moshe's hands, what's the point? He says that B'yad Moshe is always a reference to Pilpul, and he answers cautious with that too. The Gemara says in Erevin that Moshe Rabbeinu taught Torah separately to Bnei Aaron and separately to whole Klal Yisrael. It was shifts. One of the shifts was he taught Bnei Aaron, then he taught Klal Yisrael. Why do you have to teach Bnei Aaron that Klal Yisrael? Why can't Bnei Aaron sit there when Klal Yisrael was learning? So after Nitziv, he taught the Bnei Aaron Pulpula Deiraisa right away. He was not taking a sign. It was up to him to give it to who he felt was worthy. The Bnei Aaron, they were Gedalei Adar, right? God of Abihu thought that they're going to be the ones that take over from Moshe and Aaron. So then he taught. He taught Pulpula Deiraisa, and that's why they are specially called the Talmidim of Moshe. The Musar of the Nitziv, which he says in numerous places, is that once Klal Yisrael goes to Golus, and he says, even when you go into Eretz Yisrael, he says, are in our weak state, we can't be matzliach in learning without papula d'araisa. You should know, if you're going to learn without learning to think and learning, be mafalpul, yes kashas, yes theorist, you might say a silly thing. And some of you do. But it's kedai to try to apply yourself into your learning. If you sit there and you sit back, all right, Rashi says this, Taisa says this, now I even know who the Rashbam is, who the Ri is, yeah, it's very nice. But that's not the way you're supposed to learn. You're supposed to learn by questioning what you learn. The why, how could it be, the mysterious. Without the chiyus of Papula Darasi, you're not going to make it. And he explains, that's why Moshe Rabbeinu gave him Papula Darasi when they left the Midbar. It was a big change from the Midbar to going to work in Eretz Yisrael, working the land. They need a Papula Darasi. He explains with this, the Gemara says that if not for Moshe, the Torah would have been given through Ezra. Let's take the Gemara. If not for Moshe, the Torah would have been given through Ezra. Ezra lived much later. The Torah says, Papula Daraisa. Ezra lived in the generation of the Golos. He came back to Eretz Yisrael by the Bayashem. He lived in the generation. When you go to Golos, if Moshe Rabbeinu would not have been Noyi Tavis Ayin, but Kaisar went to Golos, they would have had to have Papula Daraisa. Without Papula Daraisa, without the Geshmak of Papula Daraisa, you don't get pushed to learn. You can do the Shem Shemayim, you go to learn the Shem Shemayim. But the people who sit by their learning, like, come and get me, that type of sitting by learning, they're not pushed to keep on going. Someone who says something is schwer, something is difficult, something is a pella, it's a stira, you learn something that doesn't fit with halacha, you should go running to the Shulchan Aruch, maybe you're doing wrong. Someone who involves himself in it, who throws himself into it, that's halacha in learning. My father, Lev Shalom, was a teenager when he went to Auschwitz. And he was a yeshiva, he learned. He never reached Papula Darais. I was his oldest son. As I was growing up, he learned with me. Gemara Rashi, he always had chavrusas. When I started learning Taisis, he started learning Taisis with me. When I started learning Mashas, he started learning Mashas. I started learning Yeshuas, he started learning Yeshuas. I remember once, I don't know exactly how old I was, I must have been in high school, my father came home with a box. In the box was a set of Pnei Yeshua, Shita Mukubetzes, I don't remember what else. So I said, thank you. He says, not for you. Didn't buy for you. It was for himself. Once you get into Papula Daraisa, the whole life changes, you know. I remember my father, when I was first started to learn seriously, and I would say something like, Rashi is shver. My father was a European Yid. He would say, you're not going to say Rashi's shver. You have to say, I don't understand Rashi. How can you talk about Rashi that way? Rashi is shver? Rashi is not shver, you're shver. Give me Muslim. Once my father learned how to be mafalpel, he said worse things about Rashi than me. You know, he said much worse things about Rashi. He learned Rashi, you know, I'd say. Because if you get into it, the papula that I said, something else. So that's the deher. The deher is, the Netziv, I'm telling you, he goes throughout. Someday I'm going to collect all the places he says, and he explains the Shatayra and Aaron and Ezra, Be'er Shatayra, he explains so many things with this. It's beautiful. And he doesn't even cross-reference himself most of the time. You just have to chap that he's saying it all the time. But the Vart is, you need the Papula Daraisa. It's very appropriate to say this Vart when we learn about the family of Rashi and the Balei Taisvis. Because who taught us Papula Daraisa? Who taught us? Rashi and the Balei Taisis. You read a Taisis, all they're doing is fighting with each other. Imagine what happens, you have a science book. You say, these scientists say this, those scientists say that, and so you say, that's a science book, that's a math book. It's true. The science of math, you have to give a fact. Even then, they're wrong plan. Torah is a little, you have to live the Torah. We understand, we don't come to Rishayim. But that's the way a person has to learn. You have to apply yourself, apply your seichel. That's the way to learn. A good Shabbos, everybody.